And Father, we just come to you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for opening doors and shutting doors. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for impartations. We thank you for the price of Jesus. We thank you for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit and the angels that put up with us. We thank you. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and grace, for everything we've done that's offended you. Severing ourselves from all emotional attachments and unclean things we've touched through thought or through hands or through hearts. Calling our heart back from the north, south, east, and west. And every area where our heart has been sheared, we call it back. That we may give it completely to you in exchange for the heart, mind, will, desires of Christ. And that Christ would be manifested and glorified in each and every one of here tonight, Lord. Please, Master, grant us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we may be about your business in true spirit and power. As your word goes forth to each and every one here, that by the stripes of Jesus, we be made whole, healed, delivered in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah! You know, we are in a great, great time. It's awesome what God is doing. I mean, and just to be alive at this time is awesome. You know, we are so close to the end of self. We are so close to the end of self. It's wonderful. You know, everybody sees what's going on and so forth. And, you know, we know time is short. And if you don't know time is short, you know now. But time is short. And God is calling his children to get in position. And position is essential. You know, and in this position, God is not going to flow through his children. Revival is coming. We're in revival right now, but it's going to continue to increase to those who are willing to stay in position and to come to the end of self. You know, one of the areas that the Lord says is come out from among men and touch nothing unclean, and then I'll receive you as my son and daughter. So we've got to be careful not to touch things that are unclean. And the way you touch something unclean is through your thoughts. And that's why God said, you know, he gave us the power. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And the devil's going to tempt us in every way he can. But you got to understand something, that there's an area where God places us, and it's called a secret place of the Most High. And in this place, the Bible says that the devil can't touch you. God has already given us the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So what he's asking us to do now is to be obedient all the way through. And in this, we've got to have discipline. You know, discipline is essential, in that discipline has nothing to do with how you feel. If you're an individual that still walks by how you feel, you'll always be in trouble. If you walk in how you feel, if you're the one that's always saying, well, this is how I feel, God will never trust you, because he can't associate and trust an individual that is associated always and judges things how they feel. Because if you're an individual and how you, by judging things how you feel, you can't even trust God. Do you understand? Because then you can't trust his word. You must trust how you feel. Is everybody all right? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Would you read it with me, please? But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? Then you know perilous times are here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's amazing it says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Then it says, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. So, you know, he's warning us, you know, in the last days, in these latter days, there's going to be perilous times. And one of the things that's associated with these perilous times and why people are going to be acting according to this way is the area that they're going to, I'm going to get, I want you to get this, they're going to have a false vision. And one say false vision. These are individuals that are walking in false visions. Has everybody got it? We'll go a little further. For these are the sort that creep into ministries, households, and, you know, everything else, organizations, and make captives of gullible men, women, children, and so forth, load them down with sins, led away with various lusts or desires. So we see here that these individuals don't even know they're being used and carry a false vision. And they load individuals down. They keep telling them about these visions and this and that, and whatever, but they're not of God. I'm going to share this with you here shortly, so hang tough. In verse 10, what does he say? But you have carefully what? Followed my what? Doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men will what? Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what's happening right now. These are called perilous times. Things are not getting better. They're getting worse, aren't they? They're getting worse. And people are becoming more imposters of godliness. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. These false visions, what we just read about in the latter days and perilous times, false visions are established by selfish ambitions. Selfish what? Ambition. A selfish ambition will promote a false vision. Everybody say that with me. A selfish ambition will promote a false vision. But he gives us a little guideline here. He says we must know the person. In other words, you got to know the person. When somebody comes to you and brings you a vision, or you have to discern your own vision, you got to know the person's belief system. The first thing you want to know is understand the person's belief system. Amen? You want to understand how they live. You know, you're not going to just accept anything from anyone or follow a vision that isn't by God. Because there's many false visions that are being established by self-ambitions. So you want to know their belief system, how they live, the level of faith they have, what's their love for others, how they handle persecution. They run to the flesh, they run to the bar, they run to the dope, or do they run to the throne? Did he run to the refrigerator? You know. Willing to suffer for truth and put others first according to the will of God. You want to find out what kind of life. In other words, you're going to determine whether that vision is true or not by the fruits of that individual and how they live. Because you're going to be approached by individuals that have said, yeah, I got a vision. Man, I'm telling you, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, and so forth. And you can come aboard, and it's going to be prosperous, and it's going to do this. And man, we're going to make a lot of money for the kingdom of God, and we're going to rescue a lot of souls, but it ain't of God. Hello. So you're going to check that person out thoroughly. The Bible says, know their fruit. If their fruit stinks, don't get near it. I mean, come on, can you believe? Listen, would Samuel show up with a cigar in his mouth, a bottle of wine in his hand, and say, yo, thus says the Lord? You wouldn't accept anything he's got to say, would you? Well, that's what God wants. Why? Because perilous times are coming. He said, because of people's selfish ambitions, they're getting false visions. And they don't even know that it's a false vision, and they'll swear it's from God. But that selfish ambition has produced a false vision. That's how he gets people out of position. Is everybody okay? Revelation 19. Do we need to know this these days? You betcha. Revelation 19. And verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. These are righteous acts, not unrighteous. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are they what? True sayings of God, not false sayings of God. So we see that these are righteous acts, not unrighteous acts. And these are true sayings, not false sayings. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you don't do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the what? Spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when you give a testimony, you got a testimony from Jesus, right, for rescuing you and saving you. That is known as the spirit of prophecy. So you're sharing a testimony about Jesus. You understand that? That's prophecy. You're speaking things in, aren't you? You're planting righteous seeds by this, aren't you? But see, because you and I carry the spirit of prophecy, individuals, the enemy would love to promote a false vision and utilize the spirit of prophecy to work on the other behalf. Are you listening? Because we're spirits, aren't we? We're just in a flesh suit. So we've got to be careful right now, especially in these latter days and all the things that are happening, especially what's going on in this country. So a true servant rejects to be worshipped. Do you see what happened here? He said, no, man, don't worship me. Just because I've given you revelation, just because I brought you the vision and share with you, don't worship me. I'm a brother just like you, man. You worship the Lord. See, so you're going to tell by the fruit on this, aren't you? He said, listen, I'm bringing you the truth, and these are the linen is because of the righteous acts, not unrighteous acts, and don't you dare worship a man. You worship the Lord. And that's exactly what this servant was telling. Does everybody understand that? Okay, let's go a little further. In other words, one of the things that he's saying, a true servant rejects to be worshipped, but he's willing to give good encouragement, isn't he? The true sayings of God, in other words, he's able to see correctly. Everyone say, see correctly. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. False visions. See, you know, you must even test the vision that God gives you. You must be able to see it all the way through. And you want to judge the vision, whether it's of God or it's not of God. But see, if it's promoted by a self-ambition, it can sure look like God, but it's not. And that's where you must judge everything. And verse 16. Would you read it with me? 23:16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart. In other words, out of their own desire or selfish ambition. Not from the mouth of the Lord. They continue to say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. To everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart in one. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Are we in the latter days? That's why this is being understood perfectly now. What's it called? False vision. And what's it directed by? A selfish ambition. Let's go a little further. This is getting good. Everybody there? I have what? I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. Did you ever see somebody? People run with a vision, don't they? They run instead of wait. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, these prophets of the deceit of their own heart. They what? They prophesy of the deceit of their own heart. Who try to make my people forget my name by their own dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, and their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Let's go a little further. We're almost done. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Now, this is powerful. In other words, these false visions are generated by selfish ambitions, aren't they? They're delivered by... Now, you got to understand this. These are delivered by believers. Why? Because they have the spirit of prophecy. And cause people to err, bring bondage, and even poverty. They cause them also to build on a wrong assignment. I had somebody... I'm telling you, I was at a place one time, and this individual... who was a prophet, called me out and prophesied over me. And the Lord said, break that off. And I broke every word off. Because that was not my dad. Does everybody got it? Why? He was prophesying out of the dictates of his own heart, out of a selfish ambition. Does everybody understand? That's also called manipulation. And it's also called witchcraft. I had to counsel with an individual and rebuke him in a simple way because he was practicing witchcraft and not even understand what he did. See, they cause to manipulate people. And again, this is witchcraft. Self-promoting ambitious people, are dangerous. I said self-promoting ambitious people. They are dangerous. Why? Because they practice witchcraft and don't even know it. Why? How does that false vision come? It comes out of what? A selfish ambition. I said self-promoting ambitious individuals are dangerous. People unknowingly associated with witchcraft. They are manipulated by false vision, which is established by false ambitions, used by Satan's kingdom to bring deception and the wrong assignment. They are used by Satan's kingdom to bring deception and the wrong assignment. And we're having it. It's infiltrated in the body of Christ tremendously. We must be careful. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28. How many of y'all know we're not fighting flesh and blood? That's why I don't chase prophecies. Somebody prophesies over me, praise God, put it on the shelf. Yeah, pray, hallelujah. Nice. I chase the Lord, not a word. There's a difference. In verse 1, would you read it with me? 1 Samuel 28. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." So David said to Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him, and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spirits out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped in Shaman. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was what? Afraid. And his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Now, I want you to understand something. First of all, because of Saul's disobedience, the Spirit of the Lord lifted from Saul, and the anointing was on David, wasn't it? So Saul moved all the mediums and the spiritists and the soothsayers and so forth out of the land. But now Saul was inquiring of the Lord, and the Lord didn't answer him. And I want you to really get this, because sometimes we want to hear from God so badly that we're willing to help open ourselves up to every other voice. And it causes a problem. And the devil knows that you want to hear from God so badly that you open yourself up to all other voices. And what's he's going to produce, he's going to promote a selfish ambition, and he knows that that's been imparted already. So when you go to seek the Lord and God hasn't spoke to you yet, the powers of darkness are all there ready to speak to you. Is everybody okay? That's why too many people move. And when they said this world, I had a self, the person's got a vision which was created by a selfish ambition. Are you listening? And then he's going to go seek the Lord, but the Lord hasn't spoken yet, but he wants to hear from God so badly that the powers of darkness, familiar spirits, divination spirits, will speak to that person. And then that person will say, "Yes, the Lord told me to go ahead and do this now." Because selfish self will even give you a voice on it. And then they move. And it wasn't God. And it didn't even start from God. Then they built on the wrong assignment. The worst thing we can be is successful on the wrong assignment. But it says that it won't profit. Remember, we just read, it won't profit, will it? So the end result is it isn't going to profit. It will not store things in heaven. It will not profit. The end result is it won't profit. It won't prosper. Everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little further. In verse 5. I think that's where we're at. Oh, no. 7. Then Saul said to his servant, "Find me a woman who is a what? Medium." Wait a minute, he just removed all of them, didn't he? What was he looking for now? He was looking for a word from the Lord. Why? He couldn't wait because he was anxious. He was what? Anxious. Why? Because he was a self-promoting anxious. He was ambitious, wasn't he? Listen, self-promoting, ambitious individuals are dangerous. Most of the time, they're always led by how they feel, because they're always hearing the voice of the stranger that tells them how they feel. "Well, this is how I feel. Yeah, this is what I see." And they can't sit still. They got to move all the time. Constantly moving. They can't sit still. They have a hard time sitting still. They can't wait on God. They've got to have an answer now. If they don't get the answer, you know what they do? They open themselves up to mediums, familiar spirits, and demonic forces. Does everybody see this? That's why you must wait on the Lord. If you haven't heard from God, don't you dare move. That's called assumption. And you got to be able to discern what that voice is that the Lord is saying. Now, I mean, this is powerful. And Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who's a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "In fact, there's a woman who's a medium in Endor." So Saul disguised himself. Now he had to, here it is, manipulation. He's lying in who he is. Come on, are you seeing this? He disguises himself, puts on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me. And bring out for me the one I shall name to you. In other words, he was looking for an answer, not willing to wait on God. And he got an answer, all right. And I'm not going to go to that now. Self-promoting, ambitious ruler was Saul. Wanted to hear from God, but the Lord didn't answer him. Sometimes God is holding back on answering you. But he wants to know whether you're really going to wait to know it's from him, or you're going to willing to accept that familiar spirit. And the end result, you'll see the fruit of it manifest. It always manifests. Why? Because there's no profit. It will not prosper. It will cause problems every time. Is everybody all right? Many believers desire to hear from God so bad and can't wait for the answer, they open themselves to demonic voices. With false visions, manipulation, deception, anxiousness, and fear. Now, I want you to understand this. Because we're supposed to have true spiritual authority, aren't we? But I'm telling you, witchcraft is the counterfeit of true spiritual authority. It is the counterfeit. Oh, why? Because it's domineering, it's dominating, it wants control. It's manipulating, it manipulates others. Witchcraft has promoted a false vision. In fact, I'm going to go back a little bit just to bring you up to date. If you really look at this country, what happened? And to me, I don't care about any politics, what's what, in the area. Jesus is president, as far as I'm concerned. See all the idiots that don't know what's going on yet. But years ago, because you talk about a selfish ambition, and you've got people that are men pleasers, so that means they fear men. See, a man pleaser will fear man. And I'm just going to share, and it doesn't matter who's in office, but there was a period of time when Clinton's administration, because he had out of a selfish ambition, got a false vision. And he implemented something. And he said, I want everyone in America to be able to own a home. So they changed the rules and regulations to qualify for a loan. Are you listening? How did it start? By a selfish ambition to please men. So that qualification for people to get a home really didn't qualify them. Are you listening? It manipulated them to buy a home. And they were willing to erase major qualifications. No more down payments, or we'll just put it in your loan. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll just hold off the interest rate. You can pay this low amount of interest rate, and then later on you can start. Nobody ever could see it through, because a false vision can never see it all the way to the end. And this was implemented by a selfish ambition from a president that went all the way down the line. Are you with me? So the desire was that every American own a home. It caused individuals to qualify for homes that were not qualified. In other words, they dropped their guidelines for qualification in order to fulfill this false vision. Sounded good, but they didn't see it all the way to the end. The end result, they couldn't see all the way through. People were manipulated in getting dangerous loans for homes that had false appraisals. I mean, all of a sudden, homes went up almost $100,000. I mean, the houses on some of our blocks were $60,000 and $80,000. Now they went up to $160,000. I mean, you know, in a short period of time, something wasn't right. And it caused an economic collapse, or what we call a apocalyptic. And that economic collapse has spread not only through this country, but globally, because of a false vision established by a selfish ambition to please man because of the fear of man. Should have been the fear of God. Now we have another false vision of a rescue package. Yeah. Diluted with manipulation to continue to bring false hope and bankrupt the future of our children and many benefits. They will never see it. Thank God we don't belong in this world, because we're not under it. We're under the kingdom. But there is another package now that's been established by a selfish ambition. It's in a false vision. There was a real simple cure to this whole thing. First of all, repent would have been the number one thing. Having a form of godliness but denying his power, huh? False visions are very difficult to see it all the way through to the end. You can only see so far with it, because it's established by a selfish ambition. See, when it's God's vision, you can see it. And you can wait for the answer. I'm telling you that one of the most dangerous individuals are self-promoting, ambitious individuals. They are dangerous. You can never trust them, and neither can God. Is everybody all right? All right, he's got 1 Peter chapter 5. False vision. Self-promoters. It's all about me, Jesus. First Pete chapter 5. In verse 6, what does it say? Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time, and not you. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. In other words, don't stop fixing your own stuff. Be what? Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking those who have false visions, who have selfish ambitions. It says what? Resist them steadfast in the faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing, not by assumption. Assumptions are always associated with false visions, because they're established by a selfish ambition. People assume. They don't go because they hear. They go because it feels good. And everything seems to fall into place. Are you listening? You go because God has spoken to you. If you wait long enough, I'm telling you, you know. The thing is people make too many quick decisions because of a selfish ambition and because it's self-promoting. It's going to acknowledge me. You understand? That's a self-promoting, ambitious individual. And they are dangerous. Listen. We must walk in a true anointing, in a true spiritual authority, and able to discern the witchcraft that is blinding individuals. And that witchcraft is blinding individuals in the body of Christ right now. God is strategically placing people for the rescue. Things are coming to a close, and we must be ready in season and out. And he will not trust an individual that is anxious or self-promoting. Has everybody got it? You can't. You must allow God to build a house and not us. You must be disciplined. You must be faithful in every area. If you're not faithful, he can't trust you. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. You cannot become a man pleaser. You must be a God pleaser. False visions are established by what? Selfish ambitions. And who's behind it? Mr. and Mrs. Witchcraft. You know. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the one I'm supposed to marry. I'm going to pray about it. Oh, yeah, the Lord gave me, he told me today. Well, you just found out he's the one you're supposed to marry. Well, yeah, I found out today. Yeah, he said, yeah. Yeah, that's the job. That's the vehicle I'm supposed to buy. That's the house I'm supposed to buy. Oh, yes, it meets all of my requirements. But does it meet God's? That's why I've been waiting for that forever. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. I'm going to go get in and boom. But Lord, you told me. No, I didn't. You had a selfish ambition with your own vision. That was not mine. And quit telling everybody that it was mine. I had nothing to do with it. And you brought a curse on yourself now. It's happening all over. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have what? This ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things. Hello, the hidden things of shame. Not walking in what? They should have replaced that and said witchcraft. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Why? Because he blinds individuals whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now this is powerful. Why? Because the devil blinds. They've been blinded by the God of this age. You know, Satan really doesn't have power over a believer that's in position and walking right with God. The enemy truly, the Bible says he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. So let me tell you what he must do. He must deceive us. When he deceives you, he will diffuse your true spiritual authority. If he can deceive you, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. But see, he really doesn't have any power against you unless he can first deceive you. That's why it's important that we know his tactics. If he can deceive you, he's diffused your spiritual authority, and now you're under his. And it just takes deception. See, he knows. He throws those little selfish ambitions out. Bam, bam. You wake up with one, bam. See, he's been planning this for a while. He's more patient than you realize. As the Lord is out that no one perish, Satan's out that everyone perish. Bam, that selfish ambition comes. Bam, oh! Then all of a sudden, oh, I got a vision. Yes, I can see it. Powerful. Oh, Lord, this must be you, right? Yeah, okay. Is everybody all right? You sure? Now I'll go to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of who? God, and not what? Us. That the power may be of the Lord and not of us. You know, there's soul power, right? Flesh power, will power. But there's a difference in God power, in the anointing. So the devil will deceive you and diffuse your true spiritual authority and promote self-seeking, self-promoting, self-ambitions, manipulation, which will eventually, now I want you to get this, which will unfold into an area of insecurity. Say insecurity. See, if he can get you to the end result of all of this where you are insecure, he's got a rope on your neck. Because he loves individuals that are insecure. First of all, what he's done is he's removed from the individual who they are in Christ. And he's promoted insecurity. So that individual is looking for anything to get attention from God, and from attention from people, anything. They're insecure. They've got to stay on the cell phone, on the computer. They've got to be in constant communication with somebody. to try to overcome that insecurity. Does everybody get it? And it all started with a selfish ambition. Do you all see this? And then promoted a false vision. And the enemy stepped in. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 7. John 7. Oh, the devil loves to get people in a place of insecurity. Because he not only does an individual who is insecure, that individual is now bound to the spirit of fear. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So the power is no longer the power of the anointing of Christ. It's called willpower. So that person's really got no more power now, because he's been diffused of spiritual authority and no longer has a sound mind and no longer has the love of God, but has the love of the flesh. And it's called lust. In John chapter 7, is everybody there? In verse 16, John 7 and verse 16. Let's read it together. And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my what? Own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory." Did you ever get around somebody that promotes himself? "Yeah, man, I got a degree. I'm this, I'm that. My calling is this and that and whatever." And promoting self. You never have to promote yourself. God will promote you. "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. And no unrighteousness is," what? "In him." So you'll know that. You know, there's such a huge I am syndrome right now. The I am. I am. I am my own power. I am my own self. I am my own. It's the I am syndrome. I can tell you I am because he is. But then there's no other. But it's not the I am because of my inner self, that, you know, higher power, lower power, side power, left power, behind power, front of power, all associated in power, but there is no power. The I am syndrome brings a person to self preservations or survival. They're always in survival mode. And they utilize manipulation. They come into an area, remember we talked about insecurity, right? So the fruit of that arena is, "Woe is me," or "What about me?" They're in depression. Are you listening? They're chronic complainers. Boy, they look for something to get sick over so they can get attention. They always have to have attention. Why? Because of insecurity. And all established by a selfish ambition with a false vision. And they get sick real easy. All because of what? Insecurity. Boy, they look for something. "Oh, man, the dog is sick. I can't do this. Oh, woe is me. My wife did this. Oh, woe is me. Oh, my daughter, or my husband, or my this, or my that, or, oh, man, you know, I left my keys. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I stubbed my toe. Oh, my God, did you see that? Look at, man, I'm hurting. Oh, woe is me. Oh, everything for attention because of insecurity, all established by a selfish ambition and a false vision. The enemy is in there big time now. Big time. He's got more than a hold. He's got control. Are you listening? Now I want you to understand that the chronic complainer of sickness, there's negativity caused by insecurity, and the result of this, again, I want you to go all the way back now, is witchcraft. It also promotes fear. The person must constantly prove self. witchcraft is very big right now, more than ever. There is witchcraft hitting the body of Christ. And we must know this and understand this. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Verse 25. Would you read it with me? Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man brings a what? What's a snared into? The enemy. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Glory to God. Kick butt. Yes. Fear of man is a snare, isn't it? Why is it assailed? It's by insecurity. People become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. Psalm 75. Psalm 75. In Psalm 75, in verse 4, I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely the dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. In other words, that's a worthless part of the wine. So the wicked shall, in other words, I want to share that that's called generic wine. The self-promotion, only real promotion comes from God, doesn't it? Now, this dreg is solid, worthless part of the wine. And he says the wicked will drink of it. I call it generic wine. And something is promoted out of this. It's called religion. Religion is promoted out of this, which brings bondage. Oh, hallelujah. These are achievers that build on their own will or strength. They are immature. Everybody say immature. And this immaturity can be to their doom. Because authority that is given out of God's time is dangerous. Does everybody get this? Authority that's given out of God's time is dangerous. If it's God's time and authority is given, it will stand. If it's not God's time, authority is given to an individual, it is dangerous to that individual. That's why the Bible says, don't let a novice become a elder of a church and stuff like that. Because it is dangerous. And I see people leave and do certain things and not be sent because of self-promotion, selfish ambitions. They want to do something for God, but they're trying to get in a place of authority. Are you listening? They're trying to get in a place of authority, but God isn't sending them. And if it's not sent in God's timing, it's going to be dangerous to them. They'll not only hurt themselves, but they'll end up hurting others around them. Everybody okay? 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. This is powerful. 1 Kings 19 and verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent message to Elijah saying, so the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down underneath a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Now, I want you to understand something, that Jezebel practiced witchcraft. Now, Elijah just got done killing over 400 prophets of Baal. And so he gets the message from the messenger, not even Jezebel, and he reads it, and that witchcraft that hit him brought such depression that he wanted to die. So I want you to understand also that depression is associated with witchcraft. It's associated with witchcraft. What's he trying to do? Get you to die. That's why people who commit suicide, who think about suicide, they are depressed intently. Then you see these advertisements on TV, these commercials. If you are very depressed and you're dealing with oppression, we offer this. Of course, the side effect is suicide. So let's fulfill the witchcraft, you know. Hallelujah. But nobody reads that, you know. So we see what happened here. Discouragement established. What happened to Elijah? Now, he accepted from this witchcraft and accepted a false vision, didn't he? I mean, fear ripped this dude apart. Oppression took him. Then he wanted to die. That's how Satan attacks God's people. Remember, he seduces them with deception and then controls them with fear. He seduces them with deception and controls them with fear. And how can that start? Can it start off with a selfish ambition? Yes. Which will produce a what? False vision. Is everybody okay? Go to Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. In verse 30. Would you read it with me in verse 30? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests rule by their what? Own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the what? End. Are we near the end? Amen. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to turn to Ephesians 6. I'm going to give you 7 quick things to do, okay? Shoot the prophet. No. Anybody that comes up to you and says, hey, I'm prophet or prophet of such and such, cast the devil out of them. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It's the first thing we're going to do. What does it say? Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be what? Able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what we want to do is go to verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be what? Able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to want. So we need to get dressed with the full armor of God every day. Do not skip. You're either dressed with the armor of God or you're dressed with the flesh. It's the first thing. Go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. What does it say? Do not be drunk with wine. Hello. Do not be what? Drunk with wine. In which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the what? In the fear or reverence of God. So you want to stay drunk. You want to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you stay filled with the Holy Spirit, you will maintain not only the fear of the Lord, but you'll have discernment. In Philippians 2, Philippians 2 and verse 12. I'm going to go through this a little quick. Philippians 2, verse 12. Would you read it with me? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Oh, you better unline that word obey. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Oh, hallelujah. Work out your own salvation with what? fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Oh, man. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and cut the complaining and disputing, and holding fast to the word or God's promises. That's the third thing we must do. Is everybody okay? Go to chapter 4. In verse 4. 4:4. What's it say? Rejoice in the Lord. How are you going to rejoice in the Lord if you're not filled? That's why there's miserable believers. If you're miserable, go home. Don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Go get filled with the Holy Ghost. Cast out the devil of depression. Go to the throne. That's got to be your home. Not the phone. The throne. Hello. It says rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Say always.
Always.
Not when you feel like it.
Always.
Again, I say rejoice and let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all your carnal understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. So we need to rejoice and be anxious for nothing, right? We need to learn to wait. We need to learn to wait, and we need to learn to run. Because there's a time when you got to wait, and there's a time when you got to run. And you must discern that. And you only discern that by being filled with the Spirit of God, staying dressed with the full armor. Are you listening? And be able to discern why. Because you can't discern correctly if you're not filled. Romans 14 says, and you don't have to go there, just write it down, that the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. If there's not peace, if there's not joy, if there's not righteousness, you've connected with somebody else. I'm telling you, all three must be manifesting. If there's not peace, if there's not joy, and there's not righteousness, you're touching something else. That's how you'll know. Go to Matthew 12, and this is the fifth one. So that means you only have two left. We're going to do seven of them. Seven is what? Complete and perfect. Glory to God. In Matthew 12, in verse 43. Matthew 12, 43. It says what? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. What's my house? The body. Person's body. I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and what? Put in order. In other words, he can't access it. So he needs help. Why? Because it's been what? Put in order. Are you listening? So he has to go get other demons to help him. And what they do is then they bring deception and move the guy out of position. Amen? And then they access. So I want you to understand something that's very important. We must maintain divine order. Not only is there divine order to be maintained, but I'm talking about natural order. In other words, you must have priorities set. Has everybody got it? God will not trust you if your physical priorities are not in order either. Let me give you an example. Okay, so you owe charge cards, you owe whatever, you know. And you get a check, and you know that you have a payment to make, but you're going to say, well, I'm going to skip this payment. And I'm going to go out and buy, I need a new ring. That's priority out of order. See, if you owe child support and you're choosing to go out and buy phones and cars and everything else without paying child support, that's out of order. out of order saying, I'm going to hold back my tithe and offering to do something. I want to take somebody to dinner. I want to do this. I want to do that's out of order. See, if you're not obedient to the physical order realm, you are not obedient to the spiritual divine order realm. And you will not earn the trust of God. Why? Because we're in a place right now where provision is bringing us to abundance, aren't we? And we talked about that Sunday. Provision is getting ready to, we're going from provision to abundance. So God is saying, tighten up and get things in order. And begin to discern about these false visions that the powers of darkness are displaying because of selfish ambitions. So you've got to have things in divine order. And if they're not in divine order, those are open doors to the devil. That's nice that you can show up to church. That's nice that you can praise God. That's nice that you can quote scripture. But that's bad that you won't tithe and trust God. That's bad that you don't get things in divine order or even in natural order. That you're not taking care of the things that you're supposed to naturally. Are you listening? The Bible says, make no place to the devil. It's amazing how many people make place to the devil out of a selfish ambition. How did you reject? How did you say no? Now, what we do then is we say no to God in those areas. Is that rebellion? Now, the Bible says rebellion is what? Witchcraft. So the fifth thing is we must maintain divine order and physical or natural order. Putting things in priority. You don't go out and get yourself in debt with a vehicle when you got other things you need to do. You go out and you get yourself a cheaper vehicle, and you don't have to compete with the Joneses. Hello. You go out and you get what, listen, this is how you earn God's trust. He wants to know what kind of steward you are. He wants to know. And you'll either be promoted or you'll be self-promoting. Because God didn't give you what you wanted, caused by a selfish ambition. Then brings a false vision. Then we end up in insecurities. We end up in depression. We end up chained to the enemy. These are areas that are going to help you kick butt. The Bible says, make no place to the devil. First one, get into full armor, stay filled. Work out your salvation. Quit your grumbling and complaining. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Accept God's promises. Rejoice always. And be anxious for nothing, right? Learn to wait. Maintain divine order. And go to Hebrews 10, number 6. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having promises to enter the what? Holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. In other words, he's made way for you to get to the throne. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, do not forsake to assemble. It's important that you stay connected in fellowship. Why? So we can hear what God is saying, so we can stay filled with the Spirit, so we know what the devil's next tactic is, and we know what God's plan is. In other words, we got this message right now to let us know about these false visions, didn't we? When they're created by selfish ambitions. Listen, you can step back now and see how many areas where we've either been deceived or you're seeing others being deceived. Even right now. And the seventh one, Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to what? Liberty or freedom? Only do not use this freedom or liberty as an opportunity for the what? For the flesh. But through love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish by selfish ambitions. Of course, I added a little there. Does everybody see this? So that's why he's saying, if you'll stay in the flesh, you're going to have a lot of selfish ambitions, and you're going to see a lot of false visions. But if you stay in the Spirit, your flesh will be crucified, and you'll be able to see. And if it's of God, you'll see it all the way through. And you'll wait, and you'll get such, you'll know that you'll know that you'll know. It won't be something that's, in fact, you need to, and you know, that's why the Bible tells us, give everything back to God that he gives you. That's nice, Lord, thank you. You can have it. And if it's really you, Lord, you'll give me confirmation. And not just one. Amen, not just one. You'll have more. And you'll know that it's God. And if you're involved in fellowship, and the authority in the fellowship says, that ain't God, you better darn well listen. Because they're out to rescue your butt. If they say it's not God, you better listen. Because they're out to rescue you. That's why God puts us in fellowship. It's not a controlling factor. It's a divine order. Everything is in divine order. So everybody can be trained up and fulfill a position and office in the body of Christ. Things are coming to an end. And we've got to be ready in every area. Things are not going to get better, so don't think they are. This country is under deception. Just another false vision. But thank God we don't belong here. We're dual citizens. We belong to another kingdom. And you don't even need a green card. You're sealed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in every area where we've allowed a false vision to be manifested by a selfish ambition. And we ask, Lord, that every area that has been imparted in us in any area of corruptible seeds that have promoted a selfish ambition, we sever right now and break it. Any area where there's man-pleasing in our life, Lord, we break it right now that we may please you in every area. And we ask, Father, to keep us filled, dressed, positioned, established, and perfected for your glory, that we may see those things that are of you. Grant us the strength to endure and be patient in all things, that we can wait according to your will and for your answer and not our own answer. And Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight, Lord, that this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory in a mighty way. To train up your people to be an extension of your love, your power, your hand, your word, and your presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.